down in the basement.
It's been a really long time. Like, I don't know. I feel like a rain check every week.
Yeah, seriously. It's been a tough to get together. We've been extremely busy, both Dana and I. I'm giving you an introduction this time.
You are. Yes.
Better late than never.
Hey, that's fine. Third time's the charm.
I woke up this morning. It's like, we're doing a podcast today. And yes. Nothing's going to go wrong.
I text you at like 10 o'clock and I'm like, hey, we still on for today? I wanted to reach out to you earlier, but I'm like, let me wait a little bit longer.
Let the day develop.
Let him wake up first.
I was really excited because I wanted to make a note that how many people record podcasts in an actual gym? Like, we're literally standing on a deadlift platform about to do a podcast on training.
And that's the beauty of podcasts. We record in, with us, at least, in a gym. But then I'm pretty sure, I don't think I know anyone else that does.
They're all in their well warmed up offices.
Their bedroom.
Exactly, right?
Or if they're pretty legit, then they might have a studio.
One day. Actually, I like this. It's got character.
Yeah, no, I like it.
Yeah. We're going to look around the room and look for exercise selection today. But yeah. Yeah, rope pushdowns. Those are fantastic.
I spy with my little eye.
Today, we're going to go into our first of a few different series on training. This is going to be geared more towards a novice lifter, which is, it may be you, it may not be you, but it might also be something you open your mind up about a certain lift. I've seen plenty of people that have been training for years that could take a few steps back and really hone in on form. Mm-hmm. You know, without spending so much form that they're wasting their time in the gym. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, I see a lot of people that sit there and form, and they're getting zero progressive overload.
Not only that, but even like talking like mobility or like proper warming up, stretching afterwards. It's something that's just neglected on. And it makes a huge difference when it comes to your training. And I mean, I'm even guilty of it when I first started training. Dynamic stretching, what does that mean?
What is dynamic stretching? And what is this? Yeah, exactly. Warming up or progressing warm-ups into your working sets or differentiating between what is a working set and what is a warm-up set.
Absolutely.
And I think for us, too, so being an online coach has advantages and disadvantages as far as, you know, being able to read your client's lifts.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm butting in here.
No, that's okay. Go ahead, Dana. I was just going to say, you know, there's only so much information you can give people and then so much you can see. And, you know, they might be recording in their spreadsheet. Yeah, they're doing everything that you're telling them to, but what are they actually doing?
Exactly. And what are they doing before that? Could they do more? Should they be doing less? So mm-hmm. we've actually implemented, especially on the main lifts or, you know, even with our novice clients that may not be doing barbell back squats quite yet, but they're doing, or they're learning how to hip hinge or do like a Romanian deadlift, recording these things so that we can be there and be able to see what they're doing and offer some voiceovers as far as the video goes, which has been very helpful for me. And I think that's worked out quite well for the client as well. But aside from that, you know, being able to have the advantage of seeing them lift weights and being able to say, okay, listen, that was your working set. Because I generally ask them to record a working set. Don't send me you doing a back squat with the bar because that's not going to show me much. I want to see form breakdown.
Different.
I want to see where are you stopping during that squat. Are you getting low? Are you leaning forward? Are you falling around? You know, I want to see some challenge.
Absolutely.
So, you know, and to have that advantage to say, okay, you just recorded a set of six. And it looked pretty easy. Tempo was good, you know. So that's where we come into, you know, using like an RPE scale, which we'll talk about a little bit, you know, briefly a little bit later. But, you know, not to get too far into this because I think I can ramble on and just.
Totally. Like, you could give a lesson in literally 5 minutes flat.
Yeah. We're going to talk about the novice lifter and expectations, you know, how to, you know, and maybe understanding the process a little bit more. I know that we have a few clients that have just started who listened to a few of the podcasts already, and they're really excited about them, and they're learning a lot more than what they could just read. So some people like to listen. They're audible learners. So
absolutely,
this is a fantastic thing for them. And anyone that may be just going to the gym and just want to learn a little bit more about the process itself.
Mm-hmm. And even still, you know, I know in like with each training protocol, it's in a Word document. And at the end, there's kind of like a section that just explains, you know, different things that you might see in the document that you maybe might not know. What does RPE mean? It explains it, gives a scale. But not only that, it goes into like dynamic stretching, proper warming up, stuff like that. And, you know, I think that's super important and it's a great thing that you've included. But not only that, but I think that this podcast is going to help people to kind of understand why are these things so important?
Absolutely. Because,
you know, you can say it until you're blue in the face, as you have, and I have as well.
Type.
Exactly. And I think especially with people that are just starting out, you know, they're excited, they want to get in, they want to do what they see so-and-so doing in the gym, or they saw a video on Instagram of someone deadlifting and they want to do it, but they've never even done like a bent over row. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly.
And progressing to that is super important. I don't know, I guess when I was a novice lifter, when I first started, it didn't really make sense to me because I'm like, well, I'm only going to get better at it if I do it, but yeah. Not necessarily.
Right.
Because, you know, I always say at least practice makes permanent. So you practice things wrong, you're just going to continue to do them wrong.
Absolutely.
That's where you can run into problems.
Yeah. And I think a lot of us do is just having the right mindset, too. I mean, you could have a personality that says, I can't take a few steps back. I can't. I just got to 300 pound squat. I'm not going back to 225.
Brian, why are you talking about me?
I'm just saying. I was actually going to mention that and make a note that getting a questionnaire. I saw Dana Seriano on Instagram. Ripping deads. She was doing like 315 pounds, and I want to be her.
That's quite the compliment, actually, because I sell myself short so much. I see...
The pound-for-pound champ at Retro Fitness.
Yes, yep. If you don't know me, now you do. Hello, hi.
Oh, love it.
No, but it's so true. I tend to sell myself pretty short. I was watching old videos, and I'm like, man, I'm weak. And then I'm like, wait.
She's a humble champion.
Yeah, not really.
She's humble. That's good, though. I mean, and that's a really good point that we're even talking about this and just kind of subtly chatting about it, is that, you know, you look at your lifts, and I'm sure you look at it the same way as I do, is that when I approach the bar, it's not like I need to get really super jacked up about it. I'm pretty humble. I know that I'm not the strongest dude in the gym, but, like, I really enjoy... You know, just adding a little bit of weight in the bar.
Yes.
And then, and actually doing the right lift. Like, mm-hmm. being able to hit a squat to depth
mm-hmm.
without any lumbar rounding
mm-hmm.
and not good morning in the squat up and not look like a buffoon, because most people might just be like, okay, yeah, he squatted that weight. It's a good job. And I look at it after, I'm like, That looked horrible.
Yep.
That looked terrible. So,
and then you're like, I want to post this on Instagram. Should I not? Because there's going to be someone that sees me just extending my neck just by like 20 degrees. They're going to see it.
For real. And if I do like a deadlift PR, I'll put the camera low and in front of me so they can't see what my spine's doing. Call them out. Shots fired.
I'll angle Brian any day.
Uh-huh. Listen, I know all the tricks when it comes to cameras.
But it's so true, and that just goes to show, you know, as you get more advanced in, or even, I guess, more experience in your lifting, you notice these things so much more, and you realize how important the fundamentals are.
Huge.
You know, when, you know, you might be a novice lifter, you might think it looks great, or you're just happy because you pulled whatever weight, you benched whatever weight, and it's like, no.
I know, but you could do it better. Like, you just pick that weight up.
And that's the thing, you know, it's like, not that we're really, like, bodybuilders or even powerlifters. I feel like the majority of us do it because we enjoy it and we like to look good. But that's the thing. It's like, it's not, none of us are powerlifters. We're not literally just moving the weight from A to B.
Right.
So how you do it makes a difference.
Yeah, and I think when you get to it, you talk to any powerlifter, it's competitive. You're like, okay, yeah, you're one rep max, you're going to be prone to break down.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. if you're breaking down during your warm-ups, I mean, there's probably some issue. And you know what? You can increase your one rep max that, you know, by developing a little bit better approach.
Mm-hmm.
And really just, and I'm going to, you know, just get into it and say, you know, the entire process of becoming a good weightlifter or even strengthening your entire body is just being able to develop your game.
Yeah.
Okay. As far as learning and understanding,
this mini series,
developing your game.
Episode 1.
Yes. I like that. Developing. Hey, you know what's fantastic? We're doing it.
Yes. But not to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, you're good. So when we get questionnaires in, I mean, it's really, really important that when we get people to fill out the information, the required information as far as what we're asking to develop a program is, that's probably a really weird run-on sentence right there.
No, that's okay.
Basically, we want to see as much information as you possibly can give. We see people attorney like, what is your current training program? It's like, I do legs, or you get like I do cardio for 15 minutes.
And it's like, no, your training.
Yeah, what about your training protocol? So that usually tells us, is usually a red, some red lights there that says, okay, we're not, we don't have a program just yet. That you or me.
I'm not sure. Not me.
I think it's important. But it might be me because I have my...
That's okay.
Sorry, y'all. I'll put that on silent. So, I'm sorry. Going back into the questionnaires, just being able to learn about the person, what they're doing, what they're capable of, so where we have a good starting point.
Mm-hmm.
And the interview process is huge because we want each of our clients to develop neurally, neurologically, learn how to lift before they can start doing advanced movements.
Absolutely. Now,
yeah, you might hear of the squat and think, okay, yeah, I can squat. But can you? I mean, that's the thing. Now we start loading these movements. But before we load those movements, we need to build up the amount of neurological adaptation or learn the amount of, basically be coordinated enough to do that movement with load.
Absolutely. That I think that really just kind of dumbed it down, and you said it perfectly. Because people, you might see certain things, but when it comes down to it, what you might see, and you might see it 1,000 times, to actually perform it. For example, use the squat. We can talk about that as an example. You see so many people that have never performed the movement, and they start doing that right off the bat.
Yep.
And then they add load or weight to it, and their form just breaks down entirely because they don't know the movement, and that's fine, that's totally okay.
Yeah.
But learning the movement itself is huge, the coordination, the kind of like mind to muscle connection, or even just like mind to movement connection.
Absolutely.
Like thinking about what you're doing, the squat itself, but thinking about what you should be doing actually during the lift. How many people that are novice lifters know how to properly brace their abdomen? You know what I mean? Knees out, keeping their back straight, not extending their neck.
Yeah.
How to breathe, even. Like,
yes,
breathing
definitely.
During lifting. So many people, don't know how to do it that start off, and that's fine, but, that's why it's so important, especially when, we do get someone that is a beginner, starting them off slow. And I think it's common to be new and be excited to get right into it.
Yeah. I mean, how many times have I can't even count the amount of times I've gotten emails that said, well, I can do more than this. Let's prove it, because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, you're basically an athlete, and an injured athlete is not an athlete at all.
No.
So
no.
And if we're just going to be moving weight improperly, then we're not going to make the amount of progress
mm-hmm.
that you could. And I even made a post the other day, is picking that low hanging fruit. And I think there's really
yes.
no better way to say that. Like, let's really take advantage of the easy things
yeah.
that are actually going to give us gains.
And really, like, hone in on those things.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you very well might be able to do more. I even think that, like, with myself with training sometimes, I could totally do more. But you do more, you make a jump too quick with weight, with even, like, a movement progression. And then what happens when you get injured? Then what? Then you can't do anything.
Seriously. And I'll take the good days, and I'll be like, I'll hit a PR. I'm like, I probably have another 5-10% in me, but I just internally, I get really greedy. I go, I'm not doing it. I'm just going to be like, okay, I'm going to leave this here, because now I know that I'm capable
mm-hmm.
mentally and physically. I'm going to do another progression that way. Psychologically, I'm hitting progressions
yes.
every time I'm going to test.
Yeah. And you know what? You just touched on progression. It made me think of something like, novice lifters, they might want to do more weight and add weight to a certain movement, but progressive overload, the concept itself, it not only is it adding weight, but like adding reps.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And adding reps with proper form. That in itself is progression. And I think that's something that people forget.
Right.
Especially starting off.
And for anyone that might not know what progressive overload is, as basic as we can make it, is just adding reps or lifting more weight than you did previously.
Yeah.
So I've lifted 10 pounds for 10 reps.
Mm-hmm.
That's 100. 10 pounds for 10 reps, it's 100 pounds total, okay, in volume, okay, the amount of weight lifted.
Mm-hmm.
Then next week, maybe I do it for 12 reps, and now I got 120 pounds of volume. So I've had a 20-pound progression from the previous week. So mm-hmm. to keep it very, very basic and simple, that's exactly what we want from our clients.
Mm-hmm.
It might not happen all the time.
Right.
But progressive tension overload is what is going to stimulate muscle protein synthesis. It's going to help. It's going to improve hypertrophy rate. Mm-hmm. It's going to get you stronger, jacked, and better looking.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's true. The slogan for Upstate Empire Fitness.
So basically it is progressive tension overload.
Yes.
And that's one of the things we preach. Volume is the main thing, main concept in hypertrophy. That's exactly what people need to focus on, especially if your goals are to add muscle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or even maintain it.
You can definitely add muscle even, say, for example, you might not maybe be increasing your weight as substantially as maybe you want to or even as rapidly as you want to. But if you're able to maybe increase a couple reps, that in itself is going to help build muscle. And that's a key concept. Just because you might not be able to, for example, with a rep range 8 to 12, say you're hitting say, I don't know, 9 reps each time, and you're like, I really can't increase the weight anymore. But then next week you end up hitting 10 to 11 reps. You get 12 maybe on a set. That in itself is progressive overload.
And
that's enough. You know what I mean?
Especially if you're using like a multiply that weight by how many reps you've just added. So if you're adding, you know, you're doing 100-pound dumbbells and you did 2 extra reps, that's a 200-pound progression right there.
Yeah.
And that's big. It's percentage-wise. So if you then when you start knocking down those top-end reps, you know, if it's 8 to 12, like Dana was saying, and you're knocking down all working sets for 12 reps, guess what? 5-pound increase to your next set.
Mm-hmm.
You might drop your reps down a little bit more, but then we're moving back up the scale.
And that brings up a good point I want to touch on, too. With people that ask, well, when do people that might be a little bit more timid or, you know, a little bit more cautious, I guess you could say, when do I increase weight?
Yep.
Well, if you're hitting, say, again, the rep range is 8 to 12, you're hitting 12 reps each time. Increase by 5%. Don't be afraid to increase weight, but at the same time, like, know your boundaries.
Yes.
Don't let your ego increase the weight.
Exactly. And don't be, like, how many times, and I always ask people, I call people on this, very seldom do I find people doing 11 or 13 reps. If the rep range is 10 to 15,
lie.
I'm getting 10 or 15 reps.
That's true. Unless you give me 8 to 15, which I have,
yep.
And I hit 13 range. Pretty often.
Yes. So, like, there's very few people, and I think...
But that's few and far between.
I find more often that with novice lifters, you start doing... I start seeing people, okay, max rep, max rep, max rep, max
yep.
rep, max rep, on every single movement.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay... Great, because the first few weeks, I usually let it slide 2 to 3 weeks because one, I think even if they weren't hitting RP of over 7.5,
mm-hmm.
Then they're probably going to be a little bit sore, and that's from movement. They could do that from body weight movement. So
yeah,
but after that, if we start seeing a little bit, you know, we're stuck in using the same weight and the same reps, okay, and maybe we're plateauing at any point. Okay, let's make a little bit of a change and then introduce them to what it is to progressively overload the muscle and,
that and
get
maybe,
more intensity out of your workout.
Exactly, and then maybe at that point someone would be ready for a little bit more, I guess, the next step level exercise.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, maybe going from like a bent over row to maybe now a seal row or a Penlay row.
Penlay row, yeah, that would be a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even so, I think like even with a squat progression, like I'll have people start out with body weight squats or, you know, body weight squat, a dumbbell squat, and then maybe a Romanian deadlift. Now we're starting to anteriorly load.
Mm-hmm.
So now we got a bar in front of somebody rather than just off to the side.
Mm-hmm.
Or we have a lot more now where I'm requesting people to do trap bar deadlifts where
oh.
I'm starting to realize not many gyms have trap bars.
Retro Fitness just got one like within the past, I don't know, like 6 months or so.
Yeah.
And like it gets used now pretty frequently. But when we first got it, it just sat there collecting dust because no one knew what it was.
That's why when I went in there one day, saw it there. We're going to start adding trap bar deadlifts. I know some of my clients train over here.
A lot of them train at Retro Fitness, actually.
No. Really?
A significant amount, yeah.
I'm just kidding.
You love walk me or into hate me, people. Fitness, we're there. And there's always an Upstate Empire Fitness member.
I love it
current,
over there.
Yeah, I know. And we're like a big fam. We are a big family.
Yeah, it's a nice place.
And I know a lot of clients, even myself included, like at the bottom of spreadsheets. So basically with clients, you know, they input all of their weight, their reps, how many reps they lifted, and then the weight that they lifted for each exercise goes into an Excel spreadsheet. And at the bottom, it gives you your total volume. And I see pretty much on a weekly basis, you know, screenshots of people posting on social media. You know, it's a good leg day when, you know, yeah, your volume goes up by like 10 grand or maybe not 10, but, you know.
There's a lot of good positivity to that. And there's a lot of, then I start getting my advanced lifters, they're like, okay, you don't really have to necessarily pay attention to that number. Don't get down about it. Because if anything, it was implemented for my lifters that want to see what volume actually is. So people learn how to do a volume, but it's like, then you start noticing, oh my God, my volume went down, but your intensity went up.
Yeah.
So their weight that you move went up, but your reps went lower. So yeah, you might get a little bit less volume, but we just improved intensity. So
yeah.
Yeah, there's pluses and minuses to that, but like, I love seeing when people like, I did a high rep leg day and I had 30,000 pounds.
Yes. I love it. Someone just posted, I think today, about it. I don't remember who it was, but. And especially, you know, for those that are just starting out, you know, that's kind of, what's the word?
It's empowering. It's motivating.
Exactly. Yeah. And it just goes to show that, you know, even if you are increasing weight and you're increasing reps or even vice versa, like the volume's equated at that point, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a really good point, that to be able to just see it, visualize it, and I'm like, okay, I know what I need to do. Mm-hmm. You're going into the gym with a mission. Mm-hmm. Not only to have fun and enjoy yourself, and you know, because it is fun. I think, and we'll touch on it a little bit later about, you know, choosing the right exercise. And I guess we can go into it now. It's exercise selection.
Yeah.
So, like I said, we were kind of touching on a little bit before, sort of how to progress into specific lifts.
Mm-hmm.
We specifically, and that's why we on our documents, you'll see, do not copy or send this to anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
These programs are given to people that are, you know, they're tailored to you.
They are.
You can't just start giving, you know, your friend that just wants to start lifting with you, yeah, you guys are doing back squats when you've been lifting for 2 years and they've never stepped foot in the gym.
Right.
That's the main purpose of that. And that's just basically to keep everyone safe.
Yeah.
It's not a secret training log that, oh, this, you know, because the secret is adherence,
absolutely,
proper nutrition. Okay, we do have some pretty sweet training protocols, I'm not going to lie.
We do. I'm thinking of, I forget who posted it, but I'm thinking of it. It's a pyramid. I can see it in my head, and how adherence, like on the pyramid of like what's most important, you know, the bottom being the most important, kind of like the hierarchy of needs. Like adherence is the most important thing.
Yep.
And then obviously as you go upward, those things are less important, but adherence is huge.
Very, very, to anything it's going to be adherence. The amount of, and adherence is going to directly follow. Do I like to train at this gym? Do I like to do this? Mm-hmm. Am I doing it because, you know, it looked cool for, you know, on Instagram, but now I'm like, this is not so much fun, you know? And we have a broad range of clients, and like, I have clients that prefer to do like CrossFit.
Mm-hmm.
So we just do nutritional counseling for them. So it's all a nutritional coaching, where they just feel more at home there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't personally CrossFit, but we have some good friends that, are big into CrossFit, but you know, they're, you know, at the end of the day, you need to be really excited about what you're going to do.
And that's just it. You know what I mean?
Because I can do, like, I could be the first person to tell you that when I first started, I did everything to the optimal manner. Like, no, don't do that. That's dumb. You know? And then I realized after that, at the end of the day, long-term sustainability doesn't say be optimal, because being completely optimal long-term is nearly impossible. Like, even when it comes to, like, nutrition and weighing your food out. And people will say, well, that's not good. No, it's not good long term. Like, if you're going to live your life like that, you need to be able to live eating intuitively.
Exactly.
The same thing with your training. Like, you need to be able to, and training might be a little bit different because you might really start getting into it as you get more advanced, because now you're really trying to hone in on your lifts.
Yeah. But then at that point, you know, you can only progressively overload, I think, to a certain point.
Yep.
You might be able to a little bit here and there, but it's going to take a significant longer amount of time, as opposed to when you're a novice. You know, those newbie gains are very real. Like your your CNS, you know, it's just like, what is all this crazy stuff exactly. happening? And it just changes literally almost like the snap of your fingers.
Yeah.
And then as you get more advanced, I think, not that it's harder to make changes, but it's definitely going to take.
It's going to require a lot more effort.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
It's definitely going to require a lot more effort because you'll see the first few, you know, months of someone that starts out and they've never been to the gym before and they're just like, they're getting leaner and they're getting bigger and mm-hmm. the anomaly happens. Like, that's the newbie gains.
Yes.
There's just so many adaptations that are going on in the body. And like Dana said, your CNS just doesn't know how to handle it except make you look awesome really quick. Then, you know, then you get, then, but explaining that and letting them understand that this is, you know, or even like when you put someone's before and after, so like their 8-week cut
mm-hmm.
and like people are mind blown.
Yeah.
And then you have to kind of, you know, you should. It's right to say, like, this is a newer lifter. These are not the most
normal. Yeah, because it makes a huge difference. You know, someone who has gone from maybe not doing anything in the gym aside from cardio to all of a sudden training consistently, doing cardio even a little bit more consistently, tracking their food consistently. So the changes are going to be drastic, but it's just that. It's because they're consistent and they're adherent.
Yeah. Especially just to get going, get the entire process moving. Like
mm-hmm.
when I have clients that, you're a great example. You know, we started in 2015.
Yeah.
Things happen rather quick. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, now our Dana and I's coaching relationship has changed obviously significantly since
Quite a bit.
but the amount of development that Dana has now compared to when she first started is a little bit different. So now starting her out took a little bit more time and it's going to take a little bit more effort. And there's a plethora of reasons to go into it, but a lot of it is just those adaptations, you know.
Exactly. Because I even think about, like, when I first started, even, like, not even getting into the training and the nutrition and stuff, but even, like, my work, the work that I did was totally different, you know. And I know there's so many people that can probably relate. You know, you might go from a job where you're moving, and then you switch to maybe a desk job.
Huge, yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're like not burning any calories, just being.
Seriously, exactly. And that
it's detrimental to things. But, you know, it's just that there's so many different variables, so many different things that influence it. And it's like, I think also as you get more advanced or experienced, your focus shifts. So for me at least, like I love progressing in the gym on like those major lifts. Like hitting PRs or even just like doing, not even hitting a PR, maybe just like doing a higher level of weight and the RPE is a little bit lower. It doesn't feel like a 9. It might feel like a 7.5.
Yeah.
That in
That's
itself.
A good feeling.
Yeah.
Even beyond that, the relationship you have with your body and your mind mm-hmm. is completely different than when you had when you first started.
Absolutely.
And I think I can attest to that as well. It's like when you first started, like, okay, there's a level of awareness that you're like, okay, I need to do something. Whereas like, okay, I'm going to do this because I want to see what I look like.
Yeah, exactly.
So the priority is like, I still want to smash weights and this is a routine for me and it's going to happen, mm-hmm. but I'm not, okay, it doesn't need to happen tomorrow. It's going to happen over time. I'm just going to keep getting to my routine. Just going to make some changes as far as calorie and, you know, lovely old cardio. But even with, we'll go
Use
back
the
into
word
the
lovely,
to exercise. Yeah, we'll go into exercise selection and how to determine what movements might be appropriate for someone that might be starting out with, whereas an advanced lifter will choose generally between 3 and 6 different movements that will act as a vehicle for hypertrophy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so like barbell pressing, dumbbell pressing,
mm-hmm.
Flat or incline. Mm-hmm. They might do shoulder pressing for their for shoulders. They might do lateral raise drop sets. Everyone loves those.
We do.
rowing, vertical and horizontal rowing, squat, leg press. Those are multi-joint movements. Those aren't all multi-joint movements, but we'll get into that in a second. I'm sorry. But they're determining their exercise selection based on what they're going to be able to progress in, because we get a lot of people at like, okay, am I going to change my training every 2 weeks? It's like, you don't necessarily need to change your training, not only because one, we will never be able to, as coaches, be able to look at and see how you're progressing.
Exactly. And that's what it comes down to,
Huge.
Progression.
And well, even, my last coach changed my training every week. Okay.
Well, that's why he was your last coach.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. I like that. Love it. Mic drop.
Yes.
Oh man. But and that's true. And the reason behind it is, and you explain this a lot to people, is that we are still accomplishing the same thing, but now we are seeing true progressive overload. So if I tell somebody, and really we keep exercise selection pretty autonomous when it comes to like lat pull downs. Okay, you don't have a lat, and I just said that before our podcast. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a lat pull down. Okay, we can do pull ups. You know, can you do pull ups? You know, maybe a banded pull up or an assisted pull up. Mm-hmm. Same movement. A bicep curl. Okay, you want to do dumbbells? Do you want to do an easy bar? At the end of the day, we're still down with the same movement.
Yeah.
Elbow flexion.
And I think too, with exercise selection and progressing in movements that you're doing, if you're bringing the same intensity or bringing more intensity to each lift, you know, you're going to progress and you're still going to see results. So I think that's something that a lot of people maybe don't realize until they get like invested in their training, and then they see, okay, I'm progressing in my lifts, I'm progressing in the amount of reps, and I'm seeing changes. Mm-hmm. So this is why the training has stayed the same. Okay, Brian sees that, you know, this week I lifted more, my training volume was significantly more, I upped the weight. And then I think maybe once someone gets to a point, which I don't think everyone gets to a point, but maybe I would say maybe like 10 weeks at minimum, then you might plateau in something.
Right.
So that's when we might switch things up a little bit.
Yeah, especially when it comes to, and it depends on where someone is in the process. You know, I got someone that's lifting for a few years. Okay, now we can look at, okay, do we need to make a training change, or do we need to deload that movement, or do we need a full deload? Like, that's responsiveness from the person. Like, I'm feeling like crap. I don't feel good in the gym. I'm not motivated. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Let's decrease the amount of volume that we're doing each week to give ourselves a little bit more recovery, either mm-hmm. deload, and then come back to it and see if we can progress from there. If not, guess what? Now we need a training change. And if it's a motivation thing, I mean, I'll be the first person to tell you that if you're not motivated, you know, it's because you haven't, you know, you might not be motivated. I'll tell you right now that I'm not motivated 365 days of the year. I'm just not. There's mornings I wake up, I'm a ball of motivation, and Alyssa's like, leave me alone. Like, stop, you're all jacked up.
It's true,
I'm ready
though.
To conquer the world. And there's other days where I just go through the movements.
Yeah.
And that is because I've developed habit.
Yeah.
So, and that's huge with training.
Habit
so when you
adaptation,
first start out, you're going to be so motivated. And that's like, you know, the New Year's resolutioners, Monday, going to the gym. You go Monday, Tuesday, you're like, okay, I'm all set. Because maybe you went ham on Monday.
I'm all set.
I'm going to stay home for the rest of the week. We'll try again next Monday.
Mm-hmm.
The habit becomes just go to the gym. I've had people that were injured, and I knew that they had a habit-forming problem in the past. They would be injured, or they're out of work, and I knew that they're coming back. They're going to get cleared 2 weeks out of the gym. Okay, now just go to the gym.
Yeah.
Don't do anything. Just show up.
Yeah.
Show up. Sit
Keep
on a bike.
Those habits
can you,
going.
You know, if they can ride a bike. Just go there, ride the bike for a little bit, and back. That's your habit of getting yourself to the gym. It might be so simple.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, you know, psychologically being able to get yourself into a habit of getting up, going to the gym, and that's one part of your life that might last 60 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that correlates really well to just habits and the exercises that you do, even talking about progression of, say, maybe someone who's just starting out, who wants to squat, who really doesn't know the movement at all,
right.
Getting into the habit of practicing, you know, maybe a body weight squat, and then, like you said, a dumbbell, and then maybe incorporating some stiff legs, some Romanian deadlifts.
Yeah.
Just creating that habit is going to be huge and just going to help you progress in so many different areas that you probably don't even realize at the time. You know, it's building that foundation because then when you're finally ready to do it, and even comparing it back to going to the gym every day, once you're there and it's a habit, it's just that, you know, it's a habit and you don't even think twice about it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And a lot of these movements are usually shunned or pushed on the back burner because they're not the most appealing movements in the world. I mean,
oh,
who's
no.
posting about their, you know,
their core
dumbbell
workouts.
Squat PR. Not many people. Like, I get it. I did a body weight squat 12 times today.
But that's huge.
For us, I'm jacked up. And I'll be the first one to tell you, when I see a Transformation Tuesday, we post a lot of transformations on social media. And those are fantastic. A lot of people motivated. Mm-hmm. But when I see somebody go from doing, learning how to do a body weight squat to being able to do a barbell squat.
And do it
that
damn
right there,
good.
And I'm talking ass to grass with great bar path. I mean, that is an awesome feeling. That's
heels
a great transformation
the ground,
right there. That's the stuff that I get jacked up on, because I know the amount of habit formation that went into that, and I know the amount of effort and just the psychological aspects of it that they, it's a phenomenal feeling to see that. It really is.
And I think that brings up a good point, getting into recovery.
Sure.
When those that are just starting off, I think they get really excited and they want to keep going. And it might be...
They want to be there all the time. Yeah,
it's my rest day, but can I go and still do shoulders and glutes? No. Recovery, recovery, recovery. Rest
exactly.
is huge.
Even if you go there and maybe do some cardio and some abs or...
Which is fine. Because we typically recommend doing cardio on a rest day or after your lift, which is fine. But it's like... Take those rest days and baby them.
Yeah, seriously.
Nurture them.
That's right. Not giving yourself enough recovery and then raising the bar too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Like doing all this volume all at once, I mean, you're going to get stuck. It's going to get stuck faster.
Yeah.
So that's huge. I mean, we look at and we set rest intervals up for the majority of our clients. They're anywhere from 48, and some people are actually 96 hours between rest intervals, but for the majority it's 48 to 72 hours, because we have a lot of
meaning in between the time that you train
periods.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so chest on Monday,
and that 48. Even in our last podcast or one of the last that we talked about cardio with HIIT.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yep.
Doing HIIT immediately after a leg day is just going to be counterproductive at that point. You're not going to perform to your fullest even the day after, there's just not enough recovery in between, because, HIIT's intense and it should be thought
of. It should
of.
Be, right.
It should be. But that just brings up, it just solidifies the point that rest is so important. And like you said, at least 48 hours, 72, maybe even 96, depending on the intensity.
Right.
It's huge.
Yeah. And that gap might lower as you get a little bit more advanced. I have people doing... specifically, listen, I shouldn't even tell me people how much glutes she does, but it's a lot. It's also the volume is manipulated properly. So
that's what I was just gonna say. It's not
it's based on volume per week than it is anything else. Okay, how much volume we've added volume, so they might hear her doing four glutes four times a week, but it's the amount of volume she's actually doing in those four sessions. So it's not just an entire workout dedicated towards glutes. It's not an hour and a half of glutes.
Right, exactly.
So there's movements in there, and it's just, it's maximizing the, really hitting that threshold of recovery. And then obviously some back off weeks too.
Right.
So volume's huge, guys. I mean, I think that between that and going over the RPE, the rating of perceived exertion. It's basically like when you go into a doctor's office and you see...
The pain scale.
The pain scale with the smiley faces.
And the sad faces.
It's probably, we should put that, we should make one of those.
We should.
That's it, right there. Or one of those memes that a cascading video or someone doing a squat, happy face.
Yes.
Someone frolicking through a field of daisies. That's a one or a two.
Yes, we need to make that. Yes.
Yeah. With 10. Is the, yeah, okay, imagine.
10 is the meme where it's the cartoon of a dog and he's sitting there with his eyes wide open and everything is just on fire. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
That's exactly what it is. I love that.
Meme harder than me. I love memes. I
Listen.
Between those,
I got some
and
pretty
Bitmojis,
good ones.
That's where it's at.
The when Facebook put the GIFs on there.
You say GIF, not GIF?
GIF?
Yeah, I say GIF.
All right, I wasn't gonna say it. I don't. To be honest with you, don't even know the
tomato.
Proper.
Tomato. Is it meme or is
it was
it
a 50-50 shot? And I went with GIF.
That's okay. I called you out on GIF. It. I'm sorry.
Just gift me.
But the RPE scale, similar to the pain scale, so 0 to 10, zero being one to ten, so one being super easy, literally very very light, ten meaning. Could not lift anymore, could not add any more weight, could not even lift one more rep. And that's something that we've, like I said before, in the bottom of the Word documents, incorporated that at the bottom.
Yep.
Scroll up a little bit.
Yeah.
So basically, we use that and we use it in relation to reps left in the tank. Because a lot of people, especially those that are novice lifters, I think they have a hard time gauging the RPE scale and really knowing not only how to figure it out, how to gauge it, what the weight feels like. So kind of using like reps left in the tank keeps it kind of, dumps it down a little bit. And I don't know, when I feel like it's easier for especially novice lifters to gauge.
Yeah, I think so too. Like when you get, you can tell, like I said, we can go back on the, like, okay, this person's been doing 15 reps the entire time. It's the max reps. We know they probably have a little bit more in reserve, so they probably could do a little bit more. And this is actually studied. I mean, there's a few researchers out there now. They're actually doing actual studies on there. And I think I put up in the group a few months back where there was a study done, and they're like, most novice lifters couldn't come within 4 reps of their 1 rep max.
Yes, you did post that, actually. Yeah, if not, then I think you sent it to me, but I remember reading that.
Yeah, but then you get like more of an advanced lift. They came a little bit closer. But I think there was, on anything where they thought it was going to be 80% and up. It was something with the percentage, and I hate to even quote it because it's not in front of me, but I believe, at the end of the day, it was people have a very difficult time gauging how many reps are left in a tank. And it's vastly different across the board, and a lot of it has to do with, aerobic capacity, just being able to do more reps. So they're, they might RPE, doing their bench press 12 times out of 10, and they take that load and transfer it going into like a 4 rep, and they can smash, heavy weights, but they just don't have any endurance.
Yeah, and that, I think a lot of times people might confuse the RPE scale with how they feel. Like I think of sometimes like those higher rep sets, like lunges, like I might gauge it as like an RPE of like,
those are like 10 burnout.
Because
those
I can't breathe. Yeah. You know what I mean? But it's like the exercise itself isn't that.
Right.
Yeah.
You'll see like we used to do a lot of percentage based lifts.
I was just going to say we had since done away with the percentages because even myself, I had a hard time figuring out my percentages, and even people, they're like, well, I don't know what my 1 rep max is. And yes, there's calculators that you can use, but they're not necessarily the most reliable. And not only that, but how many gyms do you know that have like a 1.5 pound plate that you can put onto something?
Yeah, the accuracy, and it comes to like hypertrophy, power, and strength rep ranges. Now there's 3 different classifications we have, and it's gauged by like 6 to 15, or we're, I think we're going with 8 to 15 reps, or 8 to 12.
Yep.
8 to 12.
For hypertrophy.
4 to 7, 1 to 3. Mm-hmm. And that was like, okay, 1 to 3 reps is strength. 4 to 6, 7 was power. And I think they can even touch hypertrophy at the 6 and 7 rep, but depending. That's another debate.
And I was just going to say, that's a whole nother conversation, because even like incorporating those different rep ranges depends on the lifter, who are you dealing with, what's their experience, because
a lot of people, and that's going to be our intermediate discussion, because we'll be able to go with that, we'll be able to touch on using rep ranges to allow for more recovery. That one's gonna be fun. This it is the more be. More than novice, so we won't get too far into that, but we're just doing a little drop in there so you guys know what's coming down the pipes.
Yes, episode 1 of developing your game.
Developing your game.
Just keeping
episode
it very
1
basic.
Training. That's it. And obviously we're going to kind of go back and forth between training and nutrition and maybe some just general gym stuff.
Yeah.
Not making fun of people.
Try not to.
Just kidding.
Catch us on a bad day. Shot's going to be fired left and right. No, I'm just kidding.
Dana and Brian are currently dieting. I feel bad for
and Alyssa, too.
Alyssa, too. Good Lord, save us.
We'll be okay. We'll make it.
We'll make it.
I think
we'll make it fine.
Tomorrow. And so is Alyssa. Alyssa has a reefy day tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll see. When she wakes, you got to send photos. So see if she's been cranky. I need to give her carbs.
I know.
This happened last time. And
and now you're both dieting again.
She
and
still
you said
sends
you
me.
Want
she
it.
Just sends me. What's wrong? Nothing. Call your coach. Email him. Don't talk to me about it.
Send me an email between the hours of 8 and 11.
Yeah, somebody explain something. So this is what's happening. Like, yeah, you should probably just shoot your coach an email. If you guys don't know, I coach Alyssa.
Poor Alyssa.
So.
Poor Alyssa.
She loves me. And you know what? That's actually the best thing that's happened to us, is to be able to just communicate through email, because I'm on. I'll be serious. It's tough to coach. It's tough to coach your significant other.
And I can imagine that it's hard to like draw the line.
Yeah. Like, oh, no. Because I got to get to the point like where, okay, I feel bad. And yeah. I see her moping around. But I'm like, I don't get to see other people like
this.
That. So.
Brian, you did this to
that's
me.
That's it. It's all right. I sacrificed a little bit during the preps. I already know what's coming. I'm like, listen, I'm not going to, you know, a lot of lonely nights. Liz is going to be a lot of pretty upset. She's going to bed early. We're not going to watch our shows on Netflix like we usually do.
Oh, that's so sad.
Actually, it's still going. We're still watching TV at night, so we're good.
Good.
Just got a little routine going.
Hey, you got to keep the routines going. It makes life a hell of a lot easier,
yeah,
especially in times like this.
Yeah, absolutely. Easy for things
her.
Like that. Just unwind.
Not
she's
so
a
much
champ.
You, because you're like a week into your cup, Brian. So.
Hey, now. What's tomorrow? Saturday will make 2 weeks.
Wow. How's it been going for you?
It's going actually pretty good. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. Like the lifting portion of it has been odd because I'm doing full body training.
It's
good. It's interesting. The recovery right now feels a lot better. When I first started, I'm like, holy cow. Like I felt beat up.
Oh, I'm sure.
But I add a little volume theory. I was like, oh, I can get away with doing more arms. This is awesome. No.
Until you can't
lift your
shaker bottle.
Yeah, because I started noticing like my pressing was starting to cramp the bed. But like, okay, I got to reduce there.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. I get secondary tricep movements from there. So either way, it's going well. I'm right now we're down 8 to almost 9 pounds. So
wow.
A lot of water weight.
That's what consistency will do, though.
Yes. So I'm pumped about it, and I feel good. And that's
good.
All that matters.
Good.
So to wrap up our training, novice, the first part of your developing your game for the novice lifter. Rule number one is going to be adherence, and and with adherence is going to be having a training plan that you wake up in the morning and are just excited to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it be, you know, going to like a Pilates class, or you know, going to the gym and you know, doing your own training program, or having one written by yours truly, Tanner
yes.
and I, or going to any group fitness classes or something. It's just being able to be excited about what you're doing. And be adherent, because you're not going to see success unless you have information to base off of previous weeks.
Absolutely.
So,
and recognizing, you know, that these things take time and it's not going to happen overnight.
Right. Develop the habit, enjoy yourself,
mm-hmm.
and be responsive. So if you have someone that's managing your training and your entire programming, give them feedback,
mm-hmm.
because they are only going to be able to help you if they know exactly how you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're also, if they're a good coach, they're going to probably tell you, joints, you know, suck it up, you know, buttercup, and move on. Or they might have to make some changes because, you know, at the end of the day, they are only going to be as successful as you are. And
absolutely.
Your adherence is key.
And I think, too, just to add to that, even for those that might not even check in with a coach, have a coach, and just kind of do things on their own, take videos, document. Send it to someone you know that might have a little bit more knowledge about something than you, just for
absolutely.
Some feedback. You know, if you find that you've been going, you feel like your wheels are just spinning, look back at your videos, compare your videos when it comes to training, and look at, you know, how far you've come, or, you know, maybe even what you have to improve upon. You know, what's the phrase?
Rome was not built in a day.
I wasn't sure if it was like Venice or something, but Rome.
Venice wasn't either.
I am on rest day macros today. So you would think I was a diabetic. I'm like, so hypoglycemic.
She's going to slunch over and hit the mic here in a second.
Yes. But it's just that, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. And take videos, document your progress. And, you know, just realize that it comes down to consistency, you know, like we touched upon earlier, progressive tension overload. Those things are huge.
Huge. Progressive tension overload. Increase your volume. We're going to get a lot more into that in our next training, explaining more of the physiological responses that you'll get from training. As we get into the more advanced lifters that might require that information, you guys will be able to take that information and apply it to your own training if you'd like. Or have a better understanding for what this whole process is all about.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, guys. Well, I think that wraps it up. What do you think, Danny? Any last words?
I think we covered it all. Thank you guys for tuning in.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. Listen, if you guys haven't already, you can follow us on our Instagram. Mine is Upstate Empire Fitness. Dana's is?
DL Siriano.
And you can also email us at dsiriano@upstateempirefitness.com or upstateempirefit@gmail.com. If you want to talk to Alyssa, she's always responsive to her emails. adevins@upstateempirefitness.com. And our website, obviously, upstateempirefitness.com. I mean, it's very simple. Just Google us.
I know. We're everywhere. You don't even have to look.
Check our Facebooks, whatever you guys want to do. We're really responsive. We like hearing back from you guys. We like to hear the feedback, positive and negative. I'm not all about the just only positive stuff.
Absolutely.
That stuff's fun, too. But, man, I really like negative stuff.
Yeah, especially just because, we are just starting out with these podcasts. Any feedback is welcome,
Except for the mean stuff. I'm going to blast you if you do. I'm just kidding.
Delete.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate
you guys
tuning in.